Civic Media News. You're listening to a special broadcast. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. I've got Todd Alba here with me virtually. Vice President Kamala Harris has landed here in the Badger State. She's rallying supporters at the Alliant Energy Center, which, from what we can tell, seems packed. There's been so much momentum around the campaign lately, and a lot of that is being reflected in our polls here in Wisconsin. In the last Marquette poll, Harris had a 4-point lead over President Donald Trump. The AARP poll that came out this week showed that Harris is gaining on Trump, specifically with independents. She performed much better than Joe Biden did in that same poll. Trump was 5 percentage points ahead of Biden with independents just 2 months ago. Now Harris is 11 percentage points ahead of Trump. So independents are really paying attention here in Wisconsin. And the Democrats are focusing on not just the state as a whole, but Dane County, which is really much of a stronghold for liberals and Democrats here. They have campaign offices in 43 of Wisconsin's 72 counties and 250 staffers statewide. So far, they say supporters have knocked on 500,000 doors here in the Badger State. Todd Alba, what are you looking for tonight?
Well, good evening, Savannah. A pleasure to join you here on a beautiful afternoon, at least in most parts of Wisconsin here, as I kind of adjust my headset. There we go. I was just down in Greene County earlier today, and that's going to be you picked up this point about, in the city of Madison, in Dane County, in 2020, Joe Biden won Dane County 75% to Trump's 22. So the Harris Walls campaign looking to repeat those numbers in 2024, but also just go south to Greene County. Joe Biden barely won Greene County, just south of Dane County, 50% to 47%. Rock County, Janesville, and Beloit, Biden won 54-43. And Sauk and Iowa counties just west of Dane County. You know this better than me, Savannah, coming from the television world. Madison is in this broader television market. So by bringing the vice president into Madison tonight, it's not just about rallying the Democratic base in Dane County, but it's also touching through television and radio those media markets outside, that kind of satellite, more rural areas outside of Dane County.
Oh, yeah, that signal goes all the way out to Platteville for the TV stations here. So it's really touching a wide swath of the state, not just Madison, which is, you know, pretty much as blue can be.
Right. And I think that's, coming from the left Republican Party in 2011, but coming from that Republican and political world, that's a big deal for the Trump people. We've talked about it on our show, Western Wisconsin, Southwest Wisconsin, up towards the Dells, north of Madison. Those are communities where we had Governor Evers on the stage just a minute ago. The way that Governor Evers beat former Governor Scott Walker wasn't necessarily turning all the red counties blue, but by slimming the margin of loss down, by at least not losing by as big a number as other people. And that's how you get, Tony Evers, Ron Johnson voters, that the people that split those tickets. Ron Johnson did the same thing for U.S. Senate on the other side. Tammy Baldwin and Vice President Harris lucky to do what Tony Evers did 2 years ago.
I'm just floored by the visuals here, right? We've seen it all over the country already, what these rallies have looked like for Kamala Harris with stadiums packed, but it just feels a little different when it's the stadium you know and have been to shows at, or at the World Dairy Expo at, to just see this many people. I know traffic was horrendous, and sorry to anybody who might be listening on their way home, because it was rough.
Well, and for those of us of a certain age, we remember when the University of Wisconsin men's hockey team played at the Dane County Coliseum. Now the I think for hockey it was 7,000 or 8,000, but we're told by our crack staff, Jamie Martinson and Corey Hartman, the capacity is 10,500, and the Harris people are telling us today it is at that plus. So they have packed, they have filled the Dane County Coliseum. It is completely filled, standing room only, and you're right, they have these they kind of red and blue lights. It's very cool looking. But you kind of look at the top of it, it's like the Starship Enterprise, right? Kind of an older, kind of a round thing. But it's a super cool venue, as you said, for a trade show or for Dairy Expo or the old days hockey.
We've so far heard from Ben Wickler, who's chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. We've heard from Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, current county executive Jamie Kuhn, and Senator Tammy Baldwin, then followed up by Governor Tony Evers. Now we have Teamsters Joint Council 39 President Bill Carroll. He's taking the stage just before Vice President Harris is. He'll be the last person to introduce her. And one of the big stories this week was that the National Teamsters Union declined to endorse a candidate nationally. But there are statewide Teamsters unions that decided to do it anyway. And Wisconsin is one of those. A lot of them are in purple states or battleground states, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and of course, here in Wisconsin.
Speaking of getting the word on the street, nobody does it better because I've worked with her up in northern Wisconsin, general manager of WMDX Radio here in Madison, Catherine Lake. Catherine, you are doing yeoman's work once again on the floor of the Dane County Coliseum. What are you hearing there in person, in the room? What does it feel like tonight, Catherine?
It feels amazing, Todd. Everyone is very animated, very loud, very excited. Tons of really enthusiastic supporters. There has not been a single moment that people aren't on their feet dancing, it seems. And I got a chance to speak to somebody earlier who has just arrived to watch Kamala take the stage, and she was very enthusiastic. Here's that.
Hi, how are you today? To support her, to support what we believe, that's right.
What do you think is right about Kamala?
Everything. I think the way she brings hope to everybody that lost a lot of it. And for me, I'm always about supporting women. We were just talking about that. And I wanted her to be president the first time.
Where do you live?
I'm Madison, on the east side.
Very good. And your first name?
Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're
got myself saying thank you, thank God. Several other folks, all the same kind of language, all the same kind of enthusiasm. The comparison with Donald Trump's platforms just doesn't hold up. Just doesn't hold up for these folks. Listen to them.
Catherine,
were there people waiting outside when you first got there?
You know, I got here real early, around 2 o'clock, so I did not see the traffic that you're talking about. I saw a little bit of it, but I was here so early, and they did it so well. They got everybody through the press. They had people coming in who needed to get close to the parking, who had placards. So they got everybody in really well, really smoothly. I was very impressed, because I've been to a few of these now.
Yeah, 10,000 people, that is impressive.
It is impressive. They got them in here. I couldn't believe it.
Catherine, how loud is it in there, Catherine?
Oh, it's a rock concert loud. Rock concert loud.
Catherine, it's Todd. We were together at both the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee and the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And we talked about, you've been in these bowls, in these national conventions, and the fact that you compare the energy. Just sometimes it's it's just palpable, right? It's hard to put into words. Do you feel that same type of energy tonight just from talking to people online and then now that the room is filled up?
Absolutely. The same level of energy here as there was at both the DNC and the RNC. People love their candidates. And I read an interesting article in the New York Times not too long ago. Wait, here we go. Kamala.
She's walking out now. Let's head to Vice President Kamala Harris as she waves to the tons and tons of people, 10,500 of them, here at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison.
We'll be right back. Madison cred, right? Oh, thank you all. It really is great to be back. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. And can we please thank Bill for fighting every day for the working people of America? And to everyone at Teamsters Joint Council 39, I am so honored and grateful for your endorsement. I will work so closely with you, as we always have, and we will win. And we will win. And we will win. And it's so great to be with all of the leaders who are here. Just this is an auditorium full of leaders, including our dear friend and your governor, Tony Evers. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who you will re-elect to the United States Senate. Representative Pocan. Special thanks to the mayor, because the last time I was in Madison, we went to the house where I lived when I was 5 years old, here in Madison. So many of you know, my sister Maya's here, so our parents taught at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and so we lived here for a period of time. So every time I land, the governor says, welcome home. So thank you all to all the leaders who are here, elected leaders and community leaders and just neighborhood leaders, family leaders, all that you are. Thank you. So here we are. All right, we got work to do. 46 days until the election. 46 days until the election. And what we know, this is going to be a tight race until the very end. So let's not pay too much attention to the polls, because let's be clear, we are the underdog in this race, and we have some hard work ahead of us. But here's the thing, we like hard work. We like hard work. Hard work is good work. Hard work is joyful work. November, we will win. We will win. So, some of you might have seen the debate last week that I had with Donald Trump. It was fun. And I talked about issues that matter to families across America, like bringing down the cost of living, investing in America's small businesses, protecting reproductive freedom, and keeping our nation safe and secure. But that is not what we heard from Donald Trump. Instead, it was the same old tired show. The same old tired playbook we've heard for years, with no plan on how he would address the needs of the American people. Well, folks, it's time to turn the page. Time to turn the page. And America is ready to chart a new way forward. We are ready. We are ready for a new generation of leadership that is optimistic about what we can do together. Because we're tired of all that division and hate they're pushing. We here know the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us. And that's what our campaign is about. understanding that this is a people-powered campaign, that this is a campaign about building community, building coalitions, reminding us all that we are all in this together and that we're gonna be good and all right. We're in this together. Which is why Democrats, Republicans, and Independents are supporting our campaign. Because they want a president, we want a president who works for all the American people. And I promise you that is the kind of president I will be. I promise that. Now, many of you know my background. My entire career, I have fought for the people. As a young courtroom prosecutor in Oakland, I stood up for women and children against predators who abused them. As Attorney General of California, I took on the big banks and delivered $20 billion for middle-class families who faced foreclosure because of predatory lending practices. I stood up for veterans and students who are being scammed by the big-for-profit colleges, and for workers who are being cheated out of the wages they were due, and for seniors facing elder abuse. And as president, I will fight on behalf of all communities and all Americans, and together we will build a brighter future for our nation. Together, we will build a future where we build what I call an opportunity economy, so every American has the opportunity to own a home, to build wealth, to start a small business. I love our small businesses. For the small business leaders who are here, can you raise your hand? Our small business leaders are extraordinary. So, you know, growing up, before our mother could afford to buy a house, we lived in an apartment above a child care center. It was owned by a woman by the name of Mrs. Shelton. And she helped raise my sister Maya and me, because my mother worked long days and sometimes on weekends. We called Ms. Shelton our second mother, and she was a small business owner. So from childhood, I have known the character and work ethic of our small business owners. And I know small business owners are the backbone of America's economy. Which is why my plan offers a new way forward and will give a $50,000 tax deduction to help entrepreneurs start their small businesses. I also know we need to build more housing in America. You know, my mother saved up for years, and when I was a teenager, she was finally able to buy her first home. I know what that dream is like. I know what it is like for people to work hard and to save up and have a dream that is about the dignity of their work and an investment in their future, the future of their family, an investment in the pride they so rightly deserve because of their hard work. But right now on the affordable housing issue, look, we have a shortage of housing in America, and it's contributing to driving up prices. So with my plan, we are going to cut red tape and work with the private sector to build 3 million new homes by the end of my first term. And provide first-time home buyers with $25,000 in down payment assistance so they can just get their foot in the door. Because unlike my opponent, who was basically handed $400 million on a silver platter and then filed bankruptcy six times, we know that most people need to just have the opportunity to actually get their foot in the door to achieve their dream and their aspirations. We also need to lower the cost of living, because while our economy is doing well by many measures, prices for everyday necessities like groceries are still too high. You know it and I know it. So I have a plan to lower costs on everything ranging from healthcare to groceries, including taking on corporate price gouging. And my plan includes giving a tax cut to 100 million Americans, including $6,000, by expanding the child tax credit for the first year of a child's life to help young and new parents buy a car seat, a crib, baby clothes in that most significant phase of their development. And all of this is to say, I will always put the middle class and working families first. I come from the middle class, and I have never forgotten where I come from. And I never will. And I never will. Now, Donald Trump, well, he has a different plan. And in many ways, you've heard me say before, he is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting him back in the White House are extremely serious. Extremely serious. Just Google Project 2025. By the way, can you believe they put that thing in writing? I mean, they put it in writing, they had it bound, and they handed it out. And if you get your hands on it or just Google it, let me tell you, it's a detailed and dangerous blueprint for what he will do if he were elected president again. If Donald Trump, well, you know what? The courts will take care of that. Let's take care of him in November. We'll take care of him in November. How about that? But if you look at what he's up to, Donald Trump will give billionaires and big corporations massive tax cuts. He intends to cut Social Security and Medicare. And he wants to impose what I call a Trump sales tax, because here's the thing. What he is proposing would be a 20% tax on everyday necessities. Basic necessities, which economists estimate will cost most working families more than $4,000 a year extra. Think about that. And on top of all of that, he intends to end the Affordable Care Act. Remember, he tried 60 times when he was president. In fact, together with Tammy, I was a United States Senator. On the floor, I don't know where she is right now, but she'll remember, and we've talked about this. We were on the floor of the United States Senate in the middle of the night when one of those votes was up, when they were trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. And we were all standing around after we all voted to protect the Affordable Care Act. And we were all standing around. And then the big wooden doors to the Senate well opened, and in walked the late, great John McCain. Remember that? And he said, no, you don't. He said, no, you don't. Remember that? But we were up against those kinds of attacks when he was president last time. And as he said in the debate, he intends to replace it, but has no plan. In fact, he has, quote, concept.
concepts of a plan. No actual plan, concepts. So, aside from that being laughable, it's very serious, because he's basically saying he would threaten the health insurance of 45 million people in our country based on a concept. And take us back. Remember those days when insurance companies could deny people with pre-existing conditions? Remember what that was like? Well, brother, we are not going back. We are not going back. We are not going back. We will not go back. And just like Wisconsin state motto tells us, forward is where we go. Forward is where we go. Because ours is a fight for the future. And ours is a fight for freedom. Like the fundamental freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body and not have her government telling her what to do. Freedom. And we remember how we got here. Donald Trump handpicked three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade. And they did exactly as he intended, and now in more than 20 states, we have Trump abortion bans, many with no exceptions even for rape and incest. It is immoral. It is immoral. And let us agree, one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree the government should not be telling her what to do. Not the government. Not the government. And yet, in our debate, Donald Trump said that everyone wanted to overturn Roe. I have talked with folks who are here. I have talked with women around our country and the people who love them. Women are being denied care during miscarriages. Some only being treated once they develop sepsis. They didn't want this. And we know that women have died because of Trump abortion bans. I was with a mother and the two sisters of a woman who died because of Trump abortion bans just last night. You know, and her mother said the worst thing among the pain that she's experiencing is when she heard and reflects on what she was told, that it was preventable. Preventable. And you know, when that decision came down just over 2 years ago, we predicted this would happen. And it's preventable. You know, the young woman, she was a vibrant 28-year-old young woman with a mother of a 6-year-old son. Her name, Amber Nicole Thurman, who I promised her mother I will say her name every time. I will say her name every time. And so, Amber was a medical assistant. She had just learned that she was accepted to nursing school. She had her whole future planned out. And her sisters and her mother were describing her to me, and they said, you know, she had such light, and she had ambition, and she had drive, and she was so proud that she had worked so hard and she was finally gaining independence, that she found an apartment in a safe community. It had a little pool where her son could play. And she was so proud. She was so proud and so hopeful. And then she discovered she was pregnant and she decided to have an abortion. But because of the Trump abortion ban in Georgia, she was forced to travel out of state to receive the health care that she needed. And when she returned to Georgia, she needed additional care, so she went to a hospital in Georgia. But under the Trump abortion ban, her doctors could have faced up to a decade in prison for providing Amber the care she needed. And so she waited for 20 excruciating hours. She waited as she deteriorated. And then she reached such a critical state, that the doctors finally operated, and it was too late. And she died of sepsis. And recently, medical experts determined that Amber's death was preventable. So understand what a law like this means, what these kinds of laws mean. These kinds of laws under Trump abortion bans. It means doctors may have to wait until the patient is at death's door before they take any action. Nobody wants that. What is he talking about? Nobody wants that. Are we saying we're going to craft now public health policy so that doctors only kick in when you're about to die? This is one example of what is happening around our country right now. And this is a healthcare crisis, and Donald Trump is the architect. So I will say to you, because of why we are here, we're going to get Tammy reelected to the United States Senate. And when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law. Proudly. And across our nation, we are witnessing a full-on assault on other hard-fought, hard-won fundamental rights and freedoms, like the freedom to vote, the freedom to be safe from gun violence, the freedom to join a union, the freedom to love who you love openly and with pride. So we know what we are up against. We are clear-eyed about what we are up against, and we remember that generations of Americans before us led the fight for freedom, and now the baton is in our hands. Now it's in our hands. It's in our hands. And so much is on the line in this election, and this is not 2016 or 2020. The stakes are even higher. Because remember, 2 months ago, the United States Supreme Court basically told the former president that he will effectively be immune no matter what he does in the White House. But think about that. Think about what that means. So before, at least, there was some threat of consequence. And now the court has made this decision. Think about that. Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails. He, who has vowed to be a dictator on day one. He, who has called for, quote, the termination of the Constitution of the United States of America. And let us be very clear. Someone who suggests we should terminate the Constitution of the United States should never again stand behind the seal of the President of the United States.
So Wisconsin, it all comes down to this. We are here together because we love our country. We love our country. And we understand the awesome responsibility that comes with the greatest privilege on earth, the privilege and pride of being an American. The privilege and pride of being an American. And I do believe that it is one of the highest forms of patriotism to fight for the ideals of our country and to fight to realize the promise of America. So, Madison, Election Day, yes, in 46 days, and early voting has already started in some states. Early voting in Wisconsin starts in just 32 days. And in fact, many of you may have already received your mail-in ballots. Check this out. In-person early voting begins in Virginia and Minnesota today. Today. And don't we love Tim Walz? He's so good. He's so good. So all that to say, the election is basically here. It's basically here, and we have work to do to energize, to organize, and to mobilize, and to remind everyone, your vote is your voice, and your voice is your power, and never let anyone take your power from you. So, Madison, today I ask you, are you ready to make your voices heard? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? Do we believe in the promise of America? And are we ready to fight for it? And when we fight,
there you have it, Vice President Kamala Harris here in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center to a raucously big and large crowd. We know there were more than 10,000 people there, which I don't remember the last time I saw the Alliant Energy Center so packed. You know, she had to say it when she came out, Todd, that she lived here in Madison as a kid, because no doubt the people in this room love that and are proud of that fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Savannah, she lived here for a period of time when she was around 5 years old. Last time she was here, she went with the mayor to her old house. And there were a lot of photos and newspapers around the city, of course. But I thought she had a great note as someone who had never run a presidential campaign, but congressional races and otherwise. She's really gotten very comfortable as the number one person on the ticket, in my opinion. She gave a great speech tonight. She talked about it only being 46 days. Playing down the polls, even as you mentioned at the top of the broadcast, some of those polls now find her ahead. Talked about building a coalition. Here's what stuck out to me, Savannah. We talked about this before the speech, that this media market, Madison, plays to a lot of rural parts of the state as well. And we all know that in order to win this election, whoever wins it, either Harris or Trump, they're going to have to broaden their initial base. They can't win just Democrats or just Republicans. And you listen to the speech, Savannah, tonight as a former Republican talking about, quote, small business owners are the backbone of our economy, unquote. Here's another one on housing, quote, cutting red tape and working with the private sector to build 3 million new homes, unquote. Those are lines that you would have found to any Republican presidential rally in the 80s and 90s and even 2000s.
Yeah, those stuck out to me too, Todd, just because, you know, if you were just listening, you would kind of, if you saw it on paper, right, you might think we were talking about a Republican. The other thing that stood out to me was her statement about, you know, ignore the polls, even though in the ones we've seen, it's either super, super close or she's ahead by a few points if she's outside that margin of error. But I thought it was interesting to tell a room full of supporters, you know, we're still the underdogs and you can't think that we've won this thing just yet.
The vice president, of course, is also taking some flack from some people for, you know, not having, quote, a plan. If you listen to the speech, though, tonight, I think she differentiated herself from her opponent by actually giving particulars on housing, that 3 million new homes, said she'd build those, help build those with the private sector, working with the private sector at the end of her first term. Also talked about proposing a $25,000 first-time home buyer assistance program for people trying to get into the housing market for the first time. And on cost of living, I thought it was interesting, she mentioned this again, tax cut to 100 million Americans by expanding the child tax credit. Of note, the Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance recently voted against that for a second time out in the United States Senate. Of course, they said it was a procedural vote, but nonetheless, they had the opportunity to vote for it, and he did not.
Frankly, Todd, when she talked about housing, I really thought there was sort of a missed opportunity there, because that is one of the biggest issues here in Madison. And to get specific about how that would help Madison and why it's so needed, I thought that could have been a great way to, you know, it's a stump speech. It's similar pretty much everywhere you go, but it could have been a way to make it really specific to Madison, because people all over the city feel that, whether they're homeowners, whether they're renting.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I also think there was a broad, of course, national media are there tonight. And to get that point out that she wants to build three million new homes in her first term, $25,000 for first-time home buyers, that's a message that sells, you know, in Wisconsin, but it also sells in other places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, you know the list, Arizona, Georgia, maybe even with the news over the last 40 hours, North Carolina is now in play more so than others. But she did try to differentiate from her opponent tonight. A couple other notes here I had talking about Donald Trump saying that he had tried to kill the Affordable Housing Act 60 times during his time in the White House. I thought there were two very poignant moments in the speech today at the Dane County Coliseum at the Alliant Energy Center here in Madison. She recounted the story when she was the United States Senate with now Wisconsin's Senator Tammy Baldwin, when there was a big vote on the Senate floor. And she called him, quote, the late, great John McCain, of course, a Republican, which got a big applause in the Coliseum tonight with Democrats, saying how he gave that thumbs down and was the deciding vote to keep the Affordable Care Act. And then again, referred back to the debate last week with Trump, saying that, you know, he has, quote, concepts of a plan if you were to kill it in the Affordable Care Act in a new term, but doesn't really have a real plan. I thought that those were moments when that was one moment that John McCain story where people really got quiet and listened.
Well, yeah, we have to talk about the case of Amber Nicole Thurman that broke this week, that down in Georgia, ProPublica found that Amber Nicole Thurman was the first death due to abortion restrictions after the fall of Roe v. Wade. It seemed like that room got quiet. And I asked Jamie Martinson, who's on our crew there in person, and she said that it was quiet. Yeah. How often do you hear 10,000 people fall almost completely silent?
I thought that you're absolutely right about that. I'm not sure. Is Catherine Lake, our general manager from Madison, is she still with us? Catherine, are you there by chance? I just like to feel the feel of the room when she was in there. Catherine, are you still available or not? Nope, Catherine is not. But you're absolutely right. We could sense this. And again, Jamie, who is in the room, said that. But it was powerful storytelling. And I think that, again, good politicians, regardless of party, when they have powerful storytelling, you really captivate people. And she kept repeating this line, Savannah, that it was preventable, that this death of Amber was a preventable death, as told by her mother. And saying, again, not having government tell women what to do. That's a very Republican thing. Trevi Olson talks about it on our show, that A lot of people don't want government telling them how many shotguns they can have to shoot turkeys, but they also don't want the government telling their daughters what they can do with their bodies. So to put it in that context of being, you know, kind of anti-government, I thought that was a really smart move. I think that Catherine Lake, our general manager here in WMDX in Madison, is back with us. Catherine, if you could hear us, what was it like being in the room during that story on women's health and 10,500 plus getting silent?
I think that might have been, for me anyway, being here, the most poignant moment. That was the loudest moment to say we're going to keep control of our bodies if I become president. For me, that was the biggest moment, the loudest. Yep. I also think we didn't mention that Mark Pocan was here as well. He spoke, I think it was like fourth before Kamala got up to the stage, and he talked about the audience here. He asked if there were students here, if there were LGBTQ here, if there were women and white men. And the loudest, I think, in that crowd was also the students. We have an enormously engaged population here in Madison, and they showed up here today.
You know, and we just learned that UW-Madison won the Big Ten Voter Challenge. That was back in 2022, so a midterm election. But UW-Madison students had the highest voter turnout of any Big Ten university. So the fact that these students are showing up here tonight falls right in line with that.
Absolutely.
That's really interesting.
Catherine,
go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, Catherine, I'm so glad you reported that because I was curious about the location. I thought they might have it on campus at the Kohl Center or maybe the field house there. So it's curious, were they busing, helping out, like busing students out, or how did the students get out there? Do we know that at all?
On foot, as far as
wow.
I could tell. I saw lots and lots of folks on foot. Yeah, it
and
was
that's a good mile and a half hike, at
it's
least,
a
probably.
Hike and
yeah.
It's hot.
Right.
They're 20. Get over it, guys. They can make it.
That's a great point, Catherine. But that's great, this energy. And we said at the top of the broadcast, you know, last time around 2020, Joe Biden won Dane County with 75.7% of the vote. Donald Trump received 22.9%. I know Democrats are really hoping they can recapture those numbers, not just for Kamala Harris this time, but also for Tammy Baldwin in the U.S. Senate race.
Well, and another thing that our Jamie Martinson just brought up in our group chat here, that 2 days after Joe Biden left the race, Kamala Harris held a rally in a high school gym. Mm. What a difference.
Yeah. And the number of supporters she got after each of these, you know, she had in late August 42,000 new volunteers here in Wisconsin, and the supporters have knocked on some 600,000 doors. I don't even know how that's possible.
Mm. Catherine, I'm curious, you're part of the team here at WMDX in the morning, John and Gordy, every morning from 6 until 8. What's your sense in listening to your listeners here in Madison? Is there a renewed energy that we hear about since the change of the top of the ticket?
100%. They are enthused. They're ready. They're ready to vote. Kamala mentioned that the ballots are already starting to be mailed. So, yeah, they are enthused, especially in downtown Madison, where we get most of our callers from these days. Absolutely.
And Savannah, I thought a great way to end it was talking about, quote, the privilege and pride of being an American, unquote. And then the vice president went on to say, quote, your vote is your power. Never let anyone take your power from you, unquote. And then went into her very memorable now freedom theme. I thought it was a powerful way, an inclusive way. She talked about building coalitions tonight in Madison. And I think she hit the mark.
Yeah. And yet another statement that if you heard it from a Republican, you would have believed it as well.
Yeah, very, very inclusive message. And we saw this, Catherine and I, down at the Democratic National Convention. And Trigvi Olson, a former Republican, worked for John McCain, flags, chants of USA, USA, veterans, very inclusive.
You know, I've heard from so many people here in Madison that they felt almost kind of weird showing any kind of patriotism because they felt like it got kind of co-opted by the Republican Party. So to see her kind of bring that message to the national stage, I think it'll make a lot more people here in Madison feel like, oh yeah, that's yeah. Right. This belongs to all of us.
Great to be the center of attention here in Wisconsin, right?
And we have how many more days left where we get to be the center
46,
of attention?
46.
We're almost there.
Right. All right,
well, thanks everybody. for joining us tonight. This has been a special broadcast. Thank you to all of our crew who you didn't hear from on air tonight. This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.